Good evening. Welcome to the Salyer Report. Today is March 9, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm in Toronto, having a great time. I'll be in Friesland in the Netherlands on April 7th. We're having a great dinner, small group at Café Max. If you're in Europe and you want to come have a fantastic dinner at a wonderful restaurant with some great people, come and join us. It's all double Dutch, so we're not selling tickets, or it's just come as you are, just like customer service. Now, if you're going to come, then we'll be in Louisville on May 13th, this time with Dr. Farrell, to celebrate the crowdfund with the donors who can come. We've got some very exciting news. We've completed phase one. The organ is ordered, but we have someone who's offered a match on phase two. It's very exciting because if we can finish phase two contiguous to phase one, we may be able to save a little bit of money and have a much more exciting sound system for Dr. Feld to practice with right away. So I can't thank you enough for that. And we'll have more on that next week. Southern California, I was going to be there in April. It turns out the conference wants to schedule for May 11th. So I'm hoping to organize a lunch for subscribers in Pasadena on May 6th, so stay tuned. And then we have two more spaces in the Australia trip for May 2018 with Richard Dolan and Jason Bowden-Smith. If you're interested, you can learn a lot more. Just go to the link on the side of the website. We were so excited about the interview and discussion I did with Rappaport, Can America Be Great Again?, that our wonderful videographer made a 20-minute video, and we've moved it all up with the links into the homepage, so check it out. And then also our new coin is available. One of the sides has the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And it's free with an annual subscription. You can see the current promotion on Salyer.com. And finally, we still have prayer books available. So remember, don't worry that you feel like you can't do anything. You can always pray, and they're free. Just let us know. Send an email to customer service or call or send a self-addressed envelope to our P.O. box, and we'll send you one. Our theme tonight is the view from Canada. I've been in Canada now since last Friday, so I came for a week. I came up to go to the PDAC convention, spring convention. The PDAC is the Developers and Prospectors, or I guess it's the Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada. I took the opportunity to spend time with Rob Kirby of Kirby Analytics, who's one of my favorite allies in the financial area. He used to have a series of very significant positions in the fixed income and derivatives markets. And so I did an interview that we're posting tonight with Rob on the Exchange Stabilization Fund. He's somebody who has tremendous expertise in that area. And it's an amazing deep dive into the hidden system of finance that is really engineering the wealth into the top 1% and engineering the financial coup d'etat and the whole financing of the breakaway civilization. So I would really encourage you, it's a great one to listen to after the Dolan interview because it adds a lot to the hidden system of finance side. Rob hosted a lunch for Toronto-based Salyer Report subscribers in very northern New York. One came over across the border. That was last Saturday. We had a fascinating roundtable discussion. And because Rob deals in precious metals as well, he had Nick Barashev and some of the members of his team from BMG Bullion. So we literally had some of the top gold experts in the world. So a fascinating discussion about precious metals as well. The presentations at the conference underscore the trends in mining and exploration. I put some of them up on the website with the view from Canada. So I'll read several. There were two sort of trend documents that I picked up that I thought would be useful for you if you're interested. One was from the S&P Global Market Intelligence. Let me just read you the three I picked. Last year marked the fourth consecutive year of declining exploration expenditure. The industry has slashed its budget to approximately one-third of the record high of $21.5 billion allocated in 2012. The 2016 exploration budgets by 1,580 companies totaled $6.8 $1 billion, a year-on-year drop of 21%, and gold, not surprisingly, remained the top export commodity in 2016. You saw this throughout all the presentations. You hear the same themes. Companies are having to dig a lot more rock and dirt and go further to get less metals. And this is requiring them to also go into the emerging and the frontier markets and assume more political risk than they would otherwise. So you're fighting a real diminution of productivity as a result of the reality of natural resources. One of the most impressive presentations I saw was from a German underground technology, Herrenknecht, whose tunneling tools were used to build the Goddard Base Tunnel. And they're taking the tools and technologies they've used for tunneling to help try and improve the productivity curve at work. Anyway, but fascinating to see you. I think one of the things that hurt the productivity in the industry was also you got a rush of money as the precious metals markets peaked in 2011, and of course, then they've been fighting a downtrend ever since. Deloitte also published a piece, and one of the things they pointed out is the extent to which the mining sector stocks have significantly underperformed the broader market, although they've started to gain since 2016. Mining companies are also feeling the heat for greater disclosure and transparency, and are also have plenty of reasons, believe it or not, to worry about cybersecurity. You see concerns about cybersecurity everywhere you go. One of the other things you see is there's been tremendous emphasis given to what's called ESG criteria. That's environmental, social, and governance. I talked a lot about that in the Solaria report third quarter wrap-up last year when we did investment screening. But you can tell that part of managing the political risk and particularly going into emerging and frontier markets is to maintain, to really understand their operating and environmental ecosystems and maintain good relations and communication with workforce and communities. But if you sit back and look at the complexity of what they're dealing with and the fact that they face ever deeper digs for less, you can appreciate the interest in space and asteroid mining and why it's growing. So the mining industry clearly needs the human race to become a multiplanetary civilization, which of course raises the questions, is it the bankers who are sending us to Mars or the miners? Inflation is very strong in Canada. And I get lots of signals from around the United States that it's running strong there, including the official statistics that indicated a 3% rate. I believe it's running more at 7% or above. The Toronto housing market, according to Rob, has risen 20% plus for several years running. But you need to look through the paper and debt printing because what that is just sort of trying to deal with and cover over is the fact that we have a growing population, but we're competing for shrinking supply of bountiful natural resources. So even in a North America land of plenty, which from a natural resource standpoint, Canada clearly is, the symptoms of peak everything are seeping into all aspects of their lives. And one of the questions in the back of my mind is, can the economics of peak everything be bested by breakthrough energy technology and other new technologies? Clearly, that race is on. Money and markets, the US index is back down in the 101 to 102 area, so it's down about 0.5% for the year. Fixed income market had a bad week this week, and so we now see the long treasury negative by 1.5% for the year, the intermediate treasury down almost a point, the bond aggregate down a half a point, and junk has finally dropped off. Can you believe it? But it's a big drop for junk this week, which is now up 0.62% for the year. Today is the eighth anniversary of the 2009 bottom in the S&P, so it's been quite a run if you go back and look at the bottom of 2009. So if you bought your position then, you're looking good today. The S&P now up 6% for the year. Home builders outperforming, and that certainly fits with you know, the signals I'm getting from around. I'm getting several reports now of houses selling out immediately and housing markets up throughout the country. Certainly another signal that inflation is upon us. Interestingly enough, because the S&P is really at an extraordinary high, or the U.S. markets are at an extraordinary high, and as you always know, I keep saying we're way overdue for a 25% correction, which is a correction you could have and still be in a bull market. We now have, in January, the lowest amount of corporate insiders buying stock going all the way back to 1988. So if the insiders are not buying, it's definitely a sign that the market's high. Europe now up 4.5% for the year, Germany up 5%, and the developed markets minus North America up at 4.87%, almost 5%. China's backed off a little bit, so the large caps are now up 8% and the small caps up almost 10%, a little bit less, 9.91. And the emerging markets also backed off a little bit, up 7.37. Commodities, whew, down 4.83% for the year. Gold and silver also backed up a little bit. Gold's now up 4.43% for the year. Silver up 6.29% for the year. And oil up 8%. When you walk around and look at how much work goes into getting a little bit of gold and silver out of the ground, you think, how can the gold and silver above ground not get more valuable? Fed meeting is next week. We expect the Fed to raise interest rates 0.25%, and certainly they're feeling the drumbeats of inflation, so they're going to be encouraged to do that. The Republicans are moving forward with their health care proposal. I sent into the website, so it'll be up by tomorrow, a video presentation given by House Speaker Paul Ryan, and also a breakdown from NPR with specifics and a link to the bill. The Republican bill is 123 pages versus 2,000, and because this will be going through committees for several weeks, you have 3 weeks to read the whole thing. And the Congress at this point, the Republicans are adamant that people should be free to read this in plenty of time before it all passes. There's still big problems in dealing with health. One of the things I wanted to mention is Ryan's presentation gives a good overview of sort of the collapsing of the current system and why it's so important to do something. The Republicans believe it's much more sort of market and competition based. Anyway, there's still tremendous problems in the system. We see Trump tweeting about pharmaceuticals because clearly, I think Congress understands the outrageous prices paid for pharmaceuticals here compared to other countries just cannot continue if you're going to do anything competitive on healthcare. And it's a difficult thing, but it's very good to see the GOP leadership really taking this on seriously. And it's a pretty good presentation from Ryan. But again, you're dealing with deep denial throughout the whole healthcare ecosystem. Trump's been tweeting, and of course we've had a big brouhaha this week because he claims he was wiretapped during October 2016. Now I have to tell you, it's inconceivable to me that he wasn't wiretapped or his digital equipment wasn't accessed for surveillance and listening by many different intelligence agencies, both public and private. I tweeted out and said it's a 99% chance, you know, but I think it was a 99% chance he was listened to by a variety of different parties, only because that's how our world works at this point. The other thing is you not only do you have 17 intelligence agencies in the United States, several of which could have access and listen, but they also have private contractors. And then we have foreign intelligence agencies operating, some of which have automatic deals for sharing access to this kind of data with the U.S. intelligence agencies. So it's a pretty leaky system. And, you're watching the issue that I keep bringing up, but the what's happening to the president is a metaphor for the bigger question of what we're all grappling with. How in the world do you build an economy on digital systems that have zero integrity? And you're constantly being listened to by people who intend to use that information to make money in a way that destroys your money. It's not an economy, it's perpetual war. Anyway, Trump continues to deal with leaks, which are a very serious problem. As I've said in several of my presentations so far, he needs to create his own war team. He also needs significant layoffs of people who were brought in by the last administration and don't feel that they can work for or be loyal to the current administration. And we see Vault 7 come out, or the first part round of Vault 7 from WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks has been talking about Vault 7, a major leak from the CIA, for a long time, or at least a month or two now. This first round is supposed to be approximately 1% of what they have. This one covers the tools, basically the CIA cyber warfare arsenal. According to WikiLeaks, this was a leak that basically has gone out onto the network, and it was given to them to share. So it wasn't an exclusive this time to WikiLeaks. It's very interesting the way it came out right after Trump claimed he was basically wiretapped. It's we're beginning to see Trump eeringly front run different events. So he talks about Sweden, then we have riots in Sweden. He talks about being wiretapped, and then we have this huge dump on the CIA cyber warfare arsenal from WikiLeaks. And you almost wonder if he isn't dancing, if this isn't his syndicate doing this. It's kind of interesting. I would say that this is devastating for U.S. brands. It shows the insecurity between different software and phone products in the United States and of their relationship with the intelligence agencies. It does not mention a lot of things which are critical to how this kind of cyber warfare is played. A lot of it is economic warfare, and it doesn't mention the connection to the Sheriff of Nottingham shakedowns or the integration of entrainment and mind control, but I guess education has to take it one step at a time. Part of the question to me is how much of this is real disclosure versus entertainment that distracts us from a more serious scandal, which is pedophilia and a seriously bad economy and financial problem. So I think part is true disclosure, part is a little bit of a distraction. But what was interesting is CNN literally, the last time I checked, had not even mentioned Vault 7. Now CNN is owned by Time Warner, who's doing a merger with AT&T. AT&T, of course, being much worse than the CIA, I believe, when it comes to cyber warfare, and deeply, deeply in bed with certainly the NSA and the intelligence agencies. So, my concern is if you weaken U.S. intelligence agencies, you make AT&T and Google and the like become more powerful, one of the risks. We see Feinberg of the private equity owner of DynCorp going on a trip with Trump on March 3rd. I put out a tweet saying bad, bad, bad. The idea of the head of DynCorp basically coming in to review the intelligence agencies, I just, so frightening, you don't know what to say. Mitch McConnell says tax reform can't get done this year. Now, that's not the last word, but there's no doubt that with the GOP leadership working hard on Obamacare, it's going to be hard to get tax reform done, too. Congress is going to go out at the end of July, so there's only so much can get done, and there's no doubt that the health care will take a great deal of time and effort on the leadership's part. But if you look at the equity markets, they're hoping for tax reform, and regulatory relief. Under the rubric crime pays, it turns out that one of the Russia's largest bank, has confirmed that they have hired Tony Podesta's Podesta Group to lobby against the Russian sanctions. And you almost don't know what to say. I mean, is the pedophile so good in, or the congressional pedophile so good at toll boothing everybody that you have to hire their friends to get what you need through? It's such an indictment on the swamp. You just don't even know what to say. There's definitely a deeper story here, but somebody's putting money into the Podesta Group's pockets, and you almost wonder if this is, this is part of keeping them shut up and happy. Just like you had the Washington Times hire Podesta himself. Meantime, the New York PD got a $20 million cut of the HSBC civil money forfeiture. And, you say, well, the Podesta is getting hired by the Russian banks, and suddenly NYPD is getting $20 million for new equipment, and you worry that somebody's sitting on the Anthony Weiner laptop. Anyway, I think we're seeing a lot of what is happening in Washington being about the constraint of the budget and all sorts of issues on the budget that need to be faced. And I would continue to recommend coming clean over the fiscal cliff. Our hero this week is the gentleman or lady who's being referred to as Snowden 2.0, whoever has arranged the leaks of the cyber warfare arsenal from the CIA. Unfortunately, this is very dangerous. You create very dangerous digital tools, and then they get out and about in the wrong hands. So at the same time, I think I am a supporter of transparency, and if you look at the application of many of the things that the CIA was doing in the cyber warfare area, I believe they were highly illegal. Now, I have to tell you, as a matter of conflict of interest, I believe that the CIA destroyed my childhood neighborhood with drugs and mortgage fraud. I also believe they assassinated my mother. I've said that many. I've written that up in an article called Meditations at the Crossroads. One of the things I haven't written up is I also believe that they probably assassinated my father and targeted me and my company in the 1990s. And I believe that they or their fake news networks cost me $50,000 to $100,000 a year in systems and other costs dealing with electronic harassment and mind control. As I said, I think they apply these systems to help make money. You know, I think we're in a surveillance capitalism business, and the Sheriff of Nottingham is all about using this stuff to make them and their pals money. I have never, as far as I can tell, had it in for the CIA because I believe they're part of a model, and I see the folks who tell them what to do as the problem and not the line management at the CIA or the contractors and mercenaries who work for them. I will say this, the national security state is completely out of control and completely uneconomic and unproductive. So obviously something needs to be done. But first we need something to be done at a higher level where we decide to have a human civilization instead of an inhuman one. But I will tell you that if WikiLeaks manages to pour out the 99% more files, America is in for quite an education, because what's coming is almost beyond the capacity of most Americans to fathom, although I think the rest of the world has a pretty good understanding of what exactly has been going on. But I'm not sure America is ready for it, but I, for one, believe that it would be exceptionally healthy. So we've made, as we always do when this happens, a donation to WikiLeaks, and I would encourage you to do the same. The question, of course, is what can we do? And that's why I would really encourage you to go take a look at that new video that we put up with America, Can We Make America Great Again?, our discussion with Rappaport. And in there is the links of the letter I sent to my congressman last year about place-based data and participatory budgeting. And if we're going to have breakthroughs of what's going on in Washington, then we need the data out in every county and every county going to work on bottom-up solutions, because we're going to have to reoptimize the money, and you need every county to participate. And remember, we're going to be doing 2 weeks from now a live webinar to help you start to learn about how to dig out and understand the money in your place. So take a look at that commentary. It's up at Salieri.com. Can We Make America Great Again? Discussion with John Rappaport. There's a video, an audio, a transcript, and lots of links to get you started, including links to the my letter to the to my congressman. Just take it out and slap a note on it and send it to your congresswoman. Let's get this going. Let's go to the movies. I propose that you watch Eric DeCarbonell's video briefing, The ESF and Its History. So on the Exchange Stabilization Fund, Rob and I discovered in or discuss it in a great interview. Rob Kirby is very, very knowledgeable about all the financial markets. He spent many very successful career with global financial institutions and Canadian financial institutions, and he now is very involved in the gold markets. And anybody who really looks at the management manipulation of the gold market ultimately comes back to the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which Catherine has referred to for many decades as the mother of all slush funds. This is a real deep dive with somebody who knows, you know, this is the Richard Dolan of the Exchange Stabilization Fund. And coming after our discussion last week with Richard, it's a wonderful add-on to really help you see clearly the hidden system of finance. Would I not love to have a copy of the last 50 years of books and accounts for the Exchange Stabilization Fund? What a story I could tell. Okay, ask Catherine. Dear Catherine, I just finished listening to the interview with Richard Dolan. Very informative. Wait a minute. Very informative on pre-9/11 history, particularly the interlinkage of the Exchange Stabilization Fund to the financial system. Additionally, how the black budget has become so large it could take the system down. The country is on the eve of terminating the open spending without a cap on the debt at March 15, 17. Yes, beware the Ides of March. I think I'm better informed than the average person. To me, the only person that has been ringing the alarm on the effects post-315 is Stockman in his Contra Corner and some Business Channel interviews. Yes, he's given a very good description of this, and we've put it up on the at Salieri.com. I'm sure you're keenly aware of the debt ceiling date. In your follow-up with Mr. Dolan, could you spend some time on what the two of you think the resolution will be and the subsequent fallout? I had recorded the interview before I got your question, so I didn't discuss it with him. Let me continue. Jim Rickards, another Angora editor, thinks a last-minute deal will be reached and the debt ceiling will be passed. I'm not so sure. Trump has successfully navigated debt restructuring in the private world. That experience is among his current skill set. Understanding that process myself as a principal and as an advisor on several Chapter 11s, it must be a tempting alternative to Trump. I doubt anybody inside the Beltway is even thinking of it as a viable alternative. In a recent Stockman Daily, he referenced a Harvard constitutional scholar opining that the Secretary of the Treasury and the President have the authority to prioritize payments. Stockman's analysis is the current income can pay the interest on the debt, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans benefits, military payroll, and have some walking around money left over. The current negative burn rate, the Treasury has enough cash to get to July, maybe. My conclusion of Stockman's analysis that by June, July 2017, there will be a financial meltdown resulting in teeth, hair, and eyes scattered all over the planet. My views, if Mr. Rickards is correct, the ability to get what you are correctly identifying as the truth can be more orderly. Contrary, the Mr. Global crowd will be able to launch orderly counterstrikes. If Stockman is correct, people will be more receptive to the truth because the normalcy bias will be shattered. Enough people will be looking for answers and receptive. Contrary, in a revolution Stockman result, the better organized usually wins. The real truth voters are not well organized. Hopefully you may tell. I am really interested in your analysis. In the meantime, the Serenity Prayer is in order. Yes, that is good advice. I think Trump is very unlikely to hardball Congress on the debt ceiling in his first year. Now, he may go there, and I think one of the reasons the people backing him are backing him is because he does have a lot of experience at debt negotiations and restructuring. A lot of this is going to depend on what the Wall Street military guys who back him really want, but I think the chances of a hardball are very small odds in the first year. However, it's still too early. One thing no one wants to do is rock the boat before they pull in all the cash on April 15th. So I think what we'll see is a little bit of dancing, get the cash in on April 15th, and then we'll start to get a lot more information about the ways that this could go. Just remember, Congress is going to adjourn at the end of July, so you have to get something done by the end of July with Congress, or else, you know, you're out for August. It's one of the reasons that August could be such a dicey time. Hello, Catherine. Want to give you this just in case you may not have seen it, and then they send one of the audios. Hope all is well with you. Enjoying my Solari subscription, and thank you. Well, thank you. A couple of questions. Dear Catherine, I'm a subscriber now, and then there's a long piece that I'm not going to read on the challenges of MERS and straw men. And, you know, this is one of the rabbit holes where there is something to it, but it's not one I spend a lot of time going down, only because I think a lot of people who do think that there is a real solution figuring out the system and getting relief under it, but the reality is the people we're dealing with don't keep their side of the bargain and they don't keep their contracts, which is one of the reasons I don't spend a lot of time going down. And I do think the MERS system has caused more than its fair share problem. The integrity of the housing system comes when titles are tracked and managed in a very non-digital way in county by county. And I think MERS has been a very deeply dangerous development and has caused a lot of the fraud. So I really appreciate your efforts to get into it and dig into it. You had a question about investment. I would really encourage you to see the wrap-ups, the scenarios that we did in the annual wrap-up this year, and then take a look at the first quarter wrap-up, where to stash your cash. That's going to give you part of it. Then listen to the Precious Metals Market Report with Franklin next week, and then the latest equity overview. You'll get a lot of, including the Ask Catherine questions, so you'll get a lot of good answers there. And then there are other Solari reports on financial planning, which I would encourage you to listen to as well. Okay, I know you've been a lone voice in the slow burn theory, and you have been correct, but I also respect the work of Cliff High and Bix Weir, which leads to a banking collapse and then to a gold standard. I'm entrusted to take care of my dad and his investments, but I'm at a loss as to what to do. I've been busy trying to save my farm before the rug is pulled out again, so need to be careful how to direct my mental BTUs right now. Pennies for your thoughts. Keeping a farm, I'm always encouraging people to keep farms and pay off mortgage or debt on farms. And if there's any way you can keep the farm under your control and invest in making it work again to lower your food bill, I think having access to great water and great land and great food is an invaluable asset in this time. And in many areas, even the rural areas, the values are being hurt by Agenda 21 and a variety of other governmental policies. I think that we're seeing inflation all over the place, and good farmland is going to tend to hold its value, although it's very specific to the place. If you go back and listen to all those things I recommended as to the different sort of pieces, what they'll all say is you want to stay, keep your assets in things that are very solid, very high quality, very conservative, and can sort of endure through an extremely difficult period. If you read the annual wrap-up, for many years I've said it's slow burning, but this in this annual wrap-up, I said all bets are off, and we're looking at a variety of different scenarios that could be very wide, including bringing in breakthrough energy and other technology and having the stock market go to 40,000. So don't just think that the wild scenarios are, you know, end of the world. The wild scenarios are, you know, happy times are here again. There are lots of different possibilities. Hello, Catherine. I loved your interview with Regina Meredith on Gaia. Thank you. I put up a commentary this week, or our team put up a commentary linking to the interview with Regina Meredith at Gaia. She did a remarkably good job on that one. It's a very interesting discussion. You need to be a subscriber, but it's very nominal what you have to pay for a short-term access. So if you're interested, you can link to it from Soleri.com. Hi, Catherine. Is there another conference on the agenda anytime soon? I might want to attend. There'll be a very long discussion at the crowdfunding lunch in Louisville and a discussion at the lunch in Pasadena if we have one in May. I certainly hope to. That would be May 6th, I believe, Saturday. We're also working on a webinar series, but that will be online with partners, and I'm hoping to announce that in April. We don't have a plan for a workshop or a conference, and the only conference I'll be speaking at will be the it's a wealth management conference in California. That'll be in Southern California on May 11th. So that may be one you're interested in. Thanks for all you do. Loving your interviews. Thank you. Hi, Catherine. Very nice event Saturday with Rob Kirby and fellow subscribers. This is one of the people who came to our lunch in Toronto. Could you point me to the area of the website where I could find the following decentralization community model success stories? I mentioned this as the first idea of what you would like to see in the future on Soleri.com. I would suggest you start with the links on Can America Be Great Again, and it's a great piece. What we're going to be doing is we've broken out one of the person who did topics. We're training a new person, and our topics editor is going to spend full time looking for success stories. You'll find them in the topics. Those are the weekly on the left, and they come in different categories, money and markets, and then there's a precious metals category and a science and technology and life, different categories on the left. So they'll be in topics, and we're going to figure out, it'll always say local in the front. So just scan topics and pick out the ones that say local on the left. Hi, Catherine. I have a couple questions related to my plan to move out of central Denver. Is there a credible map of the breakaway underground facilities and tunnels? Not that I know of. If you listen to our interview with Richard Dolan on underground facilities, he references Richard Souter's books, and I would get all of those and look at the maps in there. There are other efforts at mapping on the internet. I don't know how legitimate they are, but Richard's work is pretty solid. So if you take the Richard Dolan Press has published some of them, but not all of them. But if you get all of Richard Souter's books and go through Richard Dolan's presentations, both the interview we did with him, but then look at the video he did for his meetup group that is in that commentary for that Soleri report, you ought to be able to put together a pretty good estimate. Are there any locations that have fewer chemtrails raining on us? I've heard they are more concentrated in the cities, but not sure that's true. I believe it's from driving around and observing for the last 10 to 20 years, I think it is much worse in the cities, and I found it to be much worse in the California cities and the East Coast cities. So the more the population, the more bothersome it seems to be, is my impression. Thanks for all your good work. Love the interview. Okay, in closing, next week we're going to do the precious metals market report. I'm going to be over in Dogwood Mud Hole, Tennessee with Franklin. And so make sure, I'm also going to want to ask him about the steps we need to do to enforce the Constitution. So we're going to get an update on the precious metals market and talk about, okay, how do we get into really enforcing the Constitution? Then the following week, I'm going to do, normally we pre-record the Salier Report, but I'm going to do a live webinar tutorial called Unpacking Your Financial System. So you can ask questions, and we're going to be going through how to identify the government credit spending taxes, other monies and assets that work around you. And then March 30th, we'll publish our great interview with Howard Root, wonderful CEO, who's now sold his company, Vascular Solutions, wonderful medical device company up in Minneapolis. And he's written a book called Cardiac Arrest about litigating with the federal government. It's just a marvelous book. So until March 16th with Franklin Sanders from his farm in Dogwood, Mudhole, Tennessee, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.